Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourque.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. I've got my emphasis on the wrong syllables already, I guess. This is your host, of course, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live from, once again, wet, soggy, rainy Glen Burnie, Maryland. Aha. And with me, as always, live to tape from beautiful Centerville, Virginia. Hope it's not wet and soggy where you are, is, of course, the mermaid. I think mermaids like wet things. I don't know. What say you?
We love wet things.
That, of course, is my co-host, Anna Knox.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And a happy Monday, Gil. It's been a while since we've done a Monday show.
Yeah. Nothing much lined up for the two of us. Had a lot of stuff getting in the way. So, yeah, couldn't get things off the ground yesterday. So we're shooting for a Monday afternoon just before tonight's game.
Yes.
More on that later. But just a lot of things going on the week that was. Are you finally over that cold?
Yes, my goodness. Thank you for asking. That was annoying, but it's, you know, it is par for the course when you teach. So it's just constant. I feel like, some certain classrooms or certain sections of classrooms, I feel like are like a ball pit where you're just like, that's just gross. And I don't want to be anywhere near that. But then you are surrounded by germs and it's like, okay, well, there's nothing you can do about it. So here's your fever and runny nose and cold. And that is my job. So.
Bet you take a lot of NyQuil.
You know what? Surprisingly, I don't. I kind of hate that feeling. I don't know. Like, I know it's stupid because people are like, well, then it knocks you out. I just don't like that feeling.
But it's the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, achy head, so you can rest from a ball pit cold medicine.
It is. But you know what? I think I'd rather just, I don't know. I make a lot of homemade soup and hot toddies, which are brilliant, and tea. And I'm good.
Well, it sounds like it fits you to a tea.
It does, especially the hot toddy.
Yeah, that it does. So, what can we say? It was another brilliant week, although unless you are a true night owl and boy, don't have much of a life during the day, which unfortunately I do too much of as far as work. But 3 games, 3 wins. Oh.
So awesome. I will say I'm there with you. Of all 3 games, I did watch about the first period of the Sharks game because, well, kind of hometown, and it is a team I enjoy watching the Capitals go at it with. And it didn't disappoint. But yeah, and then I don't know what happened here Friday night. I was all amped up to watch the game, and I was like, all right, I'm settled, it's Friday night, and it didn't show in my hood for some reason. I was showing a whole bunch of college games, and I was like, what the hell? But then I had John Walton, and I was like, you know what, if I can't see it but I can hear him, I'm okay.
Must have been something with your cable system, because I saw it.
Right. A ton of people.
Anaheim game? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell? So I'm like, I'm going through thinking, okay, I'm looking through the menu and it's showing, you know, what's on and I was like, well, you know, sometimes they goof. And no, I went through every channel because that's the one I really wanted to see that more than the Kings game.
Heck yeah.
and was just like, what the? Yeah. So I had to kind of live vicariously through Mr. Walton, who is just not a bad way to go.
No, not at all.
But man, I really wanted to see that game because it was, you know, writing up the stats for Sports on the Hill. I was like, God, I really wish I could have seen this because of just how certain things played out and certain players standing out, but wasn't in the cards for me.
Well, oh, well. At least you got enough of a taste of it.
Oh yeah. Oh, 100%.
Okay. So we'll get into the hockey here in a second, but we must take care of one of our own, of course. And Anna, you were right to point this out, but the one we're hoping to and really pulling for, of course, he was hurt a few months ago. We're of course talking about Mitch the Beard Bates, who, by the way, still has his GoFundMe page. We will be posting that again in the episode notes. So if you hadn't had a chance to contribute, be a nice gift for him. That's still open.
Yeah.
At the behest of one Wes Johnson, no doubt. But yeah, Mitch is he's still on his long road to recovery, and it's still quite a bit tough for him. And it's when you're, you know, I kind of know from experience, you know, when I broke my leg, it's not all smiles. You know, it's a tough road.
It is. And I think, you know, you feel isolated and kind of, you know, the negativity can definitely take over. And my heart was just kind of breaking for every message that I saw him post recently on Facebook. And I thought, you know what, damn it. Like, no, you know, I know people are like, I'm so sorry. And I'm just like, you know, come on, fuck yeah, let's go Caps fans. Let's rally behind this guy who needs us to, and we're going to mention him and hope that everyone out there is sending Mitch and his family, you know, good vibes. Like, because when you're in a dark place, sometimes it is just really hard to get out of it. So I'm glad. Thank you for letting us do this tonight. Cause we got to look out for each other. So we're hoping, just for the best for him and his family, and you know, it's how we roll.
Oh yeah. Well, it's not really a matter of yeah, it's not a matter of let. I mean, it's look, our first duty is to our fellow fans. And that's when I first started this podcast, that was, you know, one of my missions, you know, to defend the fellow Caps fan as long as, you know, they showed their loyalty and proved their worth, and that's something Mitch has done, you know, 1,000 times over. So I share your sentiment. I hope he really turns it around, because like you said, it's not, I mean, you can be in a dark place, and you know, unfortunately that's where he's found himself, you know, spiritually and mentally, and it's really hard to pull yourself out of that. But I think he's starting to show signs that he is pulling himself out of that and getting right with who he is and what he needs to do. So good on him. Good on you, Mitch. And I hope you're listening, and I hope you take some solace, some comfort in this. You know, this show is behind you. A lot of your fellow fans are behind you, and encourage anyone else, of course, all fellow Caps fans to chip in as well as you can to this, because he's going to need it, and it'll put a great big smile on his face.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we want. We want to see, you know, we can't take the pain away, but we can certainly, let's hope we can change the mindset to a more positive and let them know that there are a bunch of people. I've never met them, but it doesn't matter. You know, like we said, Caps family, and we're here to support each other. So, Mitch, we're thinking of you, and yeah, rock on, buddy.
Yeah. And, yeah. So Mitch, hang in there. Our best is with you. A lot of fellow fans are with you, and we all know that you're going to turn this around. We really do. So, hoping to see you literally on your own two feet very, very soon, and back at it.
Yeah,
because we know that's where you're headed. Okay, so on to the hockey, and as we already mentioned, it was a tough tough to be a Caps fan because three West Coast games, three games that started at 10 o'clock or later. And yeah, the one I really wanted to watch was the San Jose game. I was done by 8 o'clock. I was done. I was kind of resting. I was kind of saving myself, but yeah, I was pretty much done. So unfortunately that's the one we're going to breeze through, because I managed to catch, I studied up on the Kings game, which was the one after this. And then of course I caught the whole pretty much all of the Anaheim games. We're going to go into those two in a little more depth. So unfortunately we're going to have to gloss over this one. It's a 5-2 win for the Caps. Melker Carlson opens the scoring at 2:33 of the first with a wrister. And then 10 minutes later, approximately, Garnet Hathaway gets his third on a tip in. No replay on that, unfortunately, according to the app. And then less than a minute later, Jacob Vrana puts them up 2-1 with a wrister, his 13th. Mm-hmm. 13th for 13.
Exactly.
2 minutes later, just over 2 minutes later, John Carlson with his 9th, ably assisted by Michael Kempney. That's one hell of a combo there.
Yeah, it is.
The Kempney-Carlson duo. Let's hope that never breaks up. So that puts them up 3-1. This is going to be a bit of a theme, but that turns out to be the game winner. And that's all in the first. And then second period, Garnet Hathaway again with his 4th. It's his 2nd of the game, 2:31 in the 2nd with a wrister. Jacob Vrana scores his 2nd of the game, his 14th, 5-1 with a slapper, 16:15 in. Business as usual for the Caps. And then third period, I don't know. Well, the wheels didn't come off, but the rough stuff started to kind of filter in. Evander Kane would score, but then he would do something. Well, he'd put himself on the permanent naughty list. with what he did to Radko Gudas. And look, we don't have time to go on yet another rant, but Department of Player Safety should rename themselves to Departmental Joke or Department of Player Insult or Intelligence,
right,
or something. Or Department of Inconsistency. You got one there, Anna. I think that'll work, because you know what that spells.
Yeah.
Doi. Which is probably the best word to describe all of their decisions. I said I wouldn't go on about this, but
it is infuriating, and it isn't. I will just say this. What is so infuriating, you know, we've got all these inconsistency, is that the refs have access to see the replay, and they have access to, it's right there. We have a technology. We have it shown, you know, on the Jumbotron. We have everything. And yet it was what, an elbowing penalty or something stupid?
Well, here's the thing. People got really stupid about it on Twitter and saying, well, it was called elbowing, but he hit him with his fist. Like that should make a difference. It was still a blow to the head.
And then, I mean, a blow to the head, and then he smashed his face into the...
Which caused him to go face first. He's lucky he wasn't put in concussion protocol. He could have been easily placed there for God knows how long.
And I think that's what a lot of us hit kind of. Well, you know, I mean, anytime you have to watch any of these hits in slow motion, it's like, no thanks. But it's like, you know, and your head jerks back like that, and he was stunned. You know, like he truly, like it just knocked him out, like kind of, you know, for a few moments there. And I will say, and I know this is probably not totally appropriate, but I'm gonna say it anyways. Little sweet moment with Kempney putting his hand on his shoulder to be like, it's all right, man. Oh, it's so sweet.
Those two are checkmates.
Oh, I know. They played together before, but it was just a very sweet, moment there to be like, yeah, I got your back. And you know, whatever. But God, you know, Evander Kane, like, I try to come to his defense a ton of times when he's getting thrown under the bus and all that shit talking from Ryan Reeves. I'm like, oh, let him, you know, leave him alone.
Not anymore.
Evander Kane, you have not impressed me.
Well, so how's this? They won, but how's this for a telling stat? 0 minutes in penalties for the Caps.
All right.
17, most of them earned in that stupid moment of insanity by Evander Kane.
Well, wasn't he ejected then too?
15 minutes in penalties. So yeah, a 5-minute major in a game misconduct, which translates to 10 personal minutes. But yeah, and they picked up a minor earlier. So 17 to nothing. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. The refs must have missed their dinner, so they ate their whistles. I don't know. I don't know. Just, yeah, you're right. Moving on. 5-2 win.
All that matters.
Another W, another spread eagle W in the column for the Caps. Okay, so next game, which was the second of a back-to-back. So that would mean our pal Ilya Samsonov would be in the net. Yeah, him too. And starting against the Los Angeles Kings. Now, this one, of course, this one, unfortunately, I also missed completely, but I saw the stat sheet and I had to see if the game was, if the game played out live, as it were, looked as smooth as it did on the stat sheet. And surprisingly, it didn't. And I'll explain why that is. Okay. So let's go over the scoring summary first, get that out of the way. Not, you don't want to get it out of the way if you're John Carlson, because he opened the scoring 4:36 in the first beautiful, beautiful play. So he forces a turnover in his end, recovers the puck, the loose puck, just before crossing his own blue line, then blasts down the right wing boards, and then snaps a shot past Jonathan Quick, rings off the post, ricochets into the back of the net. Thing of beauty. Thing of absolutely. Beauty.
He has just, oh man, he's just taken it to a whole new level, and I could not be happier. Just, I love it. He's just playing the best hockey he has in the longest time. And it's, you know, it's fantastic. So yes, to see him anytime he, you know, on the stats, when we look at whether he scored or assisted, it just makes me smile. Cause I'm like, there he is again. He's consistent and he has earned that A on his jersey.
And look, I'll be the first to admit, sometimes we don't give 74 a lot of love. Mm-hmm. And that's partially by design and partially because we have a lot to go over and so little time to do it on this show. But Carly, by his own nature, is a humble guy and doesn't want a whole lot of attention heaped on him. You say Johnny for Norris around him and he gets a little uncomfortable. So, right. You know, just because he's like that, we kind of want to keep things low key, but I mean, the man earned first star of the week.
Yes.
And this is one of the reasons why this play. So if you didn't get a chance to see the game, I encourage you to at least take a look at the condensed highlights. If not the highlight of this goal, because that, I think that this one play so far defines his season, gets it done at one end and then streaks down, gets it done at the other end. I think that's pretty much defined his season. Yeah. If you want something that, you know, spells out what he can do in one play, this is it for damn sure.
100%.
Okay, so moving on with the rest of the scoring summary. So John Carlson gets another one, 13:27, so about 9 minutes later, with a backhand, just about deeks Jonathan Quick out of both of his goal pads. It's a great play that was started by Lars Eller and TJ Oshie to an extent. Eller won the battle for the puck in the corner, found, threw it to the slot area. And John Carlson, you got to look at this replay. John Carlson knew what was going to happen before it was going to happen. You can see him cheat in and then dash in really quick. As soon as he saw Eller fight for the puck, you could see him kind of easing in and then taking three, four steps to get himself open. And then he makes this move. As soon as he collects the puck, makes this move that puts Jonathan Quick sideways. Mm-hmm. And just tucks it home like thing of beauty,
truly. And when you mentioned, you know, that he, you know, had that ability to kind of, you know, almost foresee what was going to happen with Eller, that's what makes a true leader in any sport. You know, when you can kind of, you're in the right place at the right time. You know, like you're expecting something, and that's him right there. And I think those leadership skills that he could provide for any of the younger players is just only going to be, I don't even know the word, but like, it's just what an awesome thing to be able to do so naturally. And then to score and have it, you know, it was fantastic. It's just 74 just is just kicking ass, and I love it.
Yep. And I would totally agree. And so would the league for that matter.
Right.
No goals in the second, and then 3:20 in the third. Kind of a bad play. You know, you don't want to overuse the phrase rookie mistake, but I think that's what, unfortunately, Samsonov looked like he made here. He went behind the net to, I don't think he knew what he was doing with it or was sure what he was doing with it. It was kind of a half railroad, you know, leave it behind or, you know, kind of, or maybe a little tap pass. He didn't look like he was sure what he was going to do with it, but he kind of just overskated it and went kind of casually went back to his net. But he didn't realize the puck tends to move, you know, when, right. when you leave it like that, when you don't make it come to a full stop. And so it kept sliding and sliding and sliding and went out to a waiting, Blake Lizotte for the Kings, who tucked it home to make it 2-1. You don't want to see that. Yeah, sorry. Got to take you to task, Sammy. It's a careless play. Very careless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, if you're going to, I don't know, you have to have like a couple more games under your belt before you pull a move like that where you get a little too comfortable thinking, you know, this is okay and I've got time and I've got this. And it's like, but I still feel like with who Sammy is as a player and as a goalie, that he's going to be watching that over and over and over again, kind of kicking himself a little bit, but then he is going to be determined to never do it again.
Right.
So that I appreciate about the kid.
And we're not going to rake him over the coals too bad because.
No, but it was a rookie mistake. We'll go with that.
Yeah, but I mean, to his credit, that was the only goal he allowed out of 23 shots. And ultimately, I think, you know, I would like to say that he had more to do with the Caps as much to do with the Caps winning. Of course, you look at the three stars, John Carlson, number one. This I don't understand. Jonas Siegenthaler, number two. If you look at the highlights, at least the early part of that, he was a little weak on the puck. Had a bad giveaway. Well, not a bad giveaway, but a bad box out play that led to a scoring chance for the Kings early on, and just didn't look very strong on the puck for most of the game. And of course, Lizotte for the Kings, the third star. In fact, the game as a whole, I mean, if you look at the shot counter, 23 for the Kings, 22 for the Caps. The Caps have never been known to need a whole lot of shots to, you know, take over a game or need a game. But, you know, John Carlson, of course, did what he did. But again, if you, I was really kind of hoping to watch the whole game, and maybe there's a tape out there somewhere. But if you look at the highlights, it really looks like the Kings took over the play for majority of stretches.
Right.
They had lots of scoring chances piled on top of each other, and Samsonov stood very tall. And I was kind of hoping that I would get the DC Sports version of the highlights, and thankfully that's within the app here, so I got to enjoy Joe Beninati. We'll squeeze a couple of times. So hopefully Mr. Whipple doesn't get a hold of that.
Sorry, not.
I'm showing my age here.
All good.
Shots on goal, as I said, 22 good guys, 23 for the Caps. So so one goal on 23 shots. I mean, yeah, we'll all take that every night of the week. Power play on both sides was bleh. 0 for 0 on both. 3 chances for the Kings, 2 for the Caps. Yeah, no power play goals. Penalty minutes 6-4. Yeah, wasn't a very rough game.
No, not at all.
Both teams very skilled. No need for the Caps to, I think Caps have a slight speed edge. So no need to get into the rough stuff to wear them down. Although, and it showed in the hit counter because 28 for the Kings and 21 for the Caps. I mean, nothing else to see here. That second period could have been worse. A 10-4 shot advantage for the Kings. But you know, credit Samsonov for standing tall there, because I think the play was a little lax then. So
right.
So that was that game, and that I think that, you know, like we mentioned earlier, is a pretty good showcase for one John Carlson, and you know, why he defined himself as the first star of the week. Okay, so moving on to the final game of the week,
yes.
The game that everybody was awaiting for, and that across the highway over in Duckland.
Anaheim.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if anybody was dubbing this game Fight Night, but that might as well have been what it was turning into. But before that, Travis Boyd started the scoring with his second on a wrister, assisted by welcome back Carl Hagelin.
Right.
And Dmitry Orlov. Double-digit assist for Orlov. So moving on, no other goals in that period. Second period, Kuznetsov brings him out to a 2-0 lead with his 12th on the power play. John Carlson, again, with his 32nd assist. Jacob Vrana also on the assist, his 12th. And then the president of the Southern California Anaheim chapter of the Hair Club for Men, Ryan Getzlaff, get his 10th of the year with a wrister. What'd I say?
Nothing. That's just very true. it's all good.
I mean,
it is. It's true. And his pitcher, profile picture or whatever is beyond cheesy, and then I don't know, he's just such an ass, but anyways, go on.
He's an ass. I mean, did you see his comment about halfway? I mean, what the hell is that all about?
Exactly.
He was afraid to fight him. And not afraid to fight him. The ref broke it up the first
right.
time.
And
he did friggin' fight him later on in the game.
Yeah, I don't take Hathaway as one who's like,
he's not afraid of anybody.
I'm afraid. Not so much.
He doesn't know what he's talking
Badass.
About.
Badass.
Okay, so things get precarious in the next period. let's see, 45 seconds in, and just like you never want to give up a goal in the last minute of a period, the first minute of a period doing that can be equally, pardon me, equally as devastating. So 45 seconds, Adam Henrique ties it. It just gives the time. It doesn't say how, and I'm not going to bother with the replay. But not even a minute later, and here's resolve for you. 52 seconds later, Jacob Vrana with his 15th, unassisted. The back end.
Yep.
So between his goal and John Carlson's solo effort, this road trip was all about, I don't need a little help from my friends tour, I guess. I don't know. Blue liner, go for left, no get.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
It's raining. I'm trying to lighten the mood. Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. And that turned out to be the game winner, thank goodness. And then after that is when it kind of broke down when Anaheim saw that the game was slipping away. Look,
Jerks.
They're all that. I have zero. I thought no respect for the Vegas organization. I have even less for the Ducks organization. I mean, all you got to do is look at the three stars. They made, you know, Baldy McBalderson the number one star. You know, he only got one goal and, you know, maybe one, you know, a gift assist. Jacob Vrana, who got the game winner, they make him the set star. And Branson, the third star? Seriously? Really? Right. For what? For yeah. what? For yeah. standing there? For standing yeah. there like a pylon in his 10 minutes and then getting punched in the mouth a couple times? Really? You make him the third star?
Yeah.
Come on. Whatever, you know, media.
I agree.
Media slump from the Ducks.
Having put that having not seen it, but listening, like I said to John Walton, it was I could picture it for sure. Not fun. The Ducks just they've always gotten under my skin. I hate playing them for some reason. It's just, and I hated it last year. I went to one of their games last year, and or actually two of the games last year when they were here, and they were ugly losses for the Capitals, but infuriating to watch because it is, yeah, the Dirty Ducks.
Yeah, they are. Brief run of the stat sheet. Caps, of course, came out ahead where it counts. And in shots on goal, 36-29, got their butts kicked on the faceoff dot. Let's not make mince words here. 64% win percentage for the Ducks. Power play, PK came up big, though. PK come up big. What am I saying here? 0-for-3 for the Ducks on the power play. And the hit counter was the same as the Kings game, pretty much, 27-21. It just looked, it was just more intense as far as, I mean, the Kings game, it was more hits to, you know, strategic hits, if I want to call it that. Get you away from the puck.
This one was definitely more.
This one, there was bad intentions behind each one here. Yep. So, you know, again, numbers don't tell the whole story. You had to be there. And thank God we were. 29 shots against Braden Holtby, who again stood tall. I thought he deserved a star of the game. I thought Ryan Miller, let's give credit where credit's due. I thought he played fairly well too. Not a bad outing. You know, give up goals on 36 shots. Pretty damn good for a 39-year-old. You know.
Right.
Playing what's probably going to be his last year. But 3-2 win and bring out the street sweeper because the Caps get it done on the road, sweep the road trip 4-0. Of course, that first game, of course, was in Detroit that we covered last week. So it's back home to the friendly
contest.
What's that?
No. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, like, this was good because after our show last week, and we and I jumped on with on Sports on the Hill, we were saying kind of like, what was it going to take, knowing how difficult going to the West Coast is. And I always get nervous. I've said it before. It's, you know, it's a long flight. You get a time change and, you know, all that. And then it's always like back-to-back games. You know, there's hardly any downtime. And I was really only that if they could pull off a win in the Shark Tank, that was just going to keep them motivated to keep going. Because I really feel like it had to go up against Thornton and Burns and Kane and whatever and leave San Jose with a loss. I think they probably could have truly, but I think the Ducks game I would have been like a little bit on the fence with. So I was super impressed and proud of this team and how they played and you know, not just, you know, we've mentioned John Carlson. It's not just him, but you know, good for him and freaking Jacob Vrana, like well deserved. You know, they just love that. So I felt much better, obviously, about this road trip than I have in the past. So we have a tough week coming up.
Yeah, we do. And we'll get to that in a little bit before we wrap things up. Previews of coming attractions, that is. But before we get to that, in my ongoing efforts to make things as fun as possible around here, I did post something of a question in both our Facebook room and three others that we deal with often. In an effort to play the match game. So I'll trot that out right now. Was simply this. As of course, recent events, which we weren't going to forget about, but of course, before the San Jose game, this happened, and that is Chandler Stephenson should have been traded for blank.
Mm-hmm.
I put out a challenge to both our roomies and three different rooms, True Caps fans, the True Caps fans zone, and Sonia Kendall's Washington Capitals fans group, Washington Capitals hockey fans. Before Anna and I read our answers, let's read off first what was posted in the room. Okay, so Christian Levesque, who duplicated this in the True Caps fans room, said draft picks. Doug Lucerarian, I'll paraphrase exactly what we got, draft picks. Draft picks at a discount because of the cap situation. Yeah, true. So moving on over to the True Caps fans room. Answers to same. Seven total comments, five actually. So as I said, Christian Levesque, draft picks. Tony Olcott, I'll paraphrase here as well. He starts off by saying, ideally more than what they got, but simply was not going to happen. Every team, he pretty much echoes what Doug said. Everybody knows we're strapped against the cap, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't get as much as we, you know, could have, but did as well as expected, basically. So, yeah, pretty solid answer there. Brad Racucci, who's one of the admins there, makes a good point. Wouldn't have fetched a fifth rounder going into the preseason. Caps maximized value for a player nobody thought was going to be on the roster for opening night. Now over to the Washington Capitals hockey fans room. Rob Kent, a block of cheese. Just kidding. Third round pick. Mike Poole, 2020 fifth round pick. Sonia Kendall for, probably had the cutest answer, a playmate for captain.
Yes. Aww. That's the best one right there.
Yeah. Well, at least one person would agree, and that's Beth Russell Bell, She made the comment that she would totally agree, which is cute. And then David A. Gould, it had to be 2021 draft pick, done to clear the $1.5 million off salary cap so we get the guys back off of IR. Yep, very true. So now over to the true Capitals fan zone, who I think had the funniest and most creative answers. Scott Carpenter, a fifth-round pick. David Spence, whatever money we could get to free up money for Backstrom. Brandon, I hope I'm saying this name right, Brandon Manalanson, Alex Tuck. Okay. Adam Gebbie Gebhardt, third-rounder. Charles Edwards said Mark Rippon. Roger DeAdger, hopefully that's his real name, a bag of new, not used hockey pucks. Monica, nice. Monica DeBrini, at least a third round pick. Richie Prisco, not a nice answer here. Who cares? Expendable. Rich Samwell, a pack of nabs. And he follows up his own comment by saying only one person knows what nabs are. You're right about that, sir. Michael Fecteau.
I don't know. What are nabs?
I don't know that I want to know. Michael Fecteau, a skate sharpener. Todd Stull said RG3. It's a name from the past. No. Michael Ferran said Pavel Datsyuk. Yeah, right. John Nichols said a bag of pucks. Josh Peters said a draft pick. And Todd Node said a pallet of beer kegs.
A pallet of what?
Beer kegs.
Oh, nice. That
would have been nice. Okay, so Chandler Stephenson, the statement again, Chandler Stephenson should have been traded for blank. So, and how would you have answered that?
Right. Well, originally I went with the obvious, which was the draft pick. That just seemed to be, that just seemed to make the more sense, which I have to say, unfortunately, I don't think that a lot of maybe people who saw this didn't think of it as match game, you know, or whatever. And I think that there's a ton of listeners out there with fantastic senses of humor that they probably could have come up with things other than just the logical answer. So my logical answer is a draft pick. My Anna answer, which is not usually very logical, is female access to the locker room.
Interesting. Okay, so draft pick obviously would have been a match. And that would have matched probably more than half those answers.
But, we would be in there for research purposes, not just to stare. But then I get paid.
So you be in say. Room. So you say.
It's my story and I'm sticking to it.
So you say, and that yet there you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what I would have said was, because I was thinking, what is the hallmark of Chandler Stephenson's game? So I was thinking, if we were going to trade him for anything, since we were going to lose his speed, why not get in return a 5-speed Zamboni with even sharper blades to help clean up the ice and do it really, really fast?
Okay.
What was my answer, which obviously would have matched nobody.
Mine didn't match anybody's either, but I have a feeling there's probably some fans, male and female, out there that might be okay with a little fan access to the locker.
Just okay?
I'll stick with just okay.
Well, if you listen to Geico, just okay is not okay.
No, that's true. But I don't listen, so.
No.
Nah, it's all good. I understand. A speedy Zamboni.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would have said. Yes. Okay. Anna, yes, you called me out on it. I didn't present very well, but it got quite a bit of responses, some of which I thought were pretty good. So I think we will.
I agree. I just thought that out. I just think that I know some of the listeners and I know their witty sense of humor. And I know that if we were like, listen, not from a statistical standpoint and not from a, you know, necessarily like a logical, you know, what's the smart thing to do? Like, let's just make, you know, make a joke of it kind of thing. And I think we would have gotten just as many witty comments as we did the logical comments. That's all I'm saying.
I think so. I trust a lot of our listeners to have come up with that. So, like I said, I think we'll bring that out again at a later date.
Definitely.
Pallet of beer kegs. Gotta love that one.
I don't know that is okay. So I kind of went like a little mushy over the partner captain, playdate captain, whatever captain, for captain. But I will say that keg thing, that just, you know, that kind of, that's looking out for the fans and then some, and I'm kind of loving it.
For sure.
Although I still want to have locker room access, but I'll do the beers.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we'll wrap up this attempt to have fun portion and not be a bunch of jerks portion of the podcast episode. By my giving a shout out to the four Caps fans who gave the posting a like over our Facebook page. We'll start with the first one, Albin. I really hope I'm saying his name right. Albin Balamowitz. And of course, our perpetual good friend, Paul Hackett, who's always there, always comes up with a like and a good comment every now and again. Yeah. Also, Hannah Jeffrey. And Bob Bowers, who gave love. So we'll give him some love.
Absolutely. And I am, before we close out, I am going to take the next couple of seconds to wish an outstanding happy birthday next trip around the sun to Robbie Gross. Fantastic guy. Gosh, who just, you know, again, haven't met him in person, but we've been working together for like 2 years now on the air. On this podcast and Sports on the Hill, and he's just awesome. And what, you know, great husband, great dad. You see all the photos, and he's going to be at the game tonight. So happy, happy birthday, Robbie.
Well, you knew the party drink was spiked because you beat me to the punch again.
Of course. It's my gift.
Happy birthday, Robbie. I hope you enjoy this episode. You've been one of our great loyal listeners. I love it when you say you always get a kick out of our show, and hopefully this one was no different for you. And I'm not even going to try to guess your age. I'm not a guy at a carnival, but I hope this one's happy for you. I know you're going to be at tonight's game that's starting here in about a couple of hours against the Jackets. So I hope they make it a good one for you. Hope they make it a win, and hope you get lots of hugs and kisses from the wife and the little boy. And yeah, hope it's a happy one from you, and really hope to hear from you soon, Robbie. You deserve it.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So speaking of Robbie and his show, his and Carol Porter the Third's, what will you be doing later tonight? Miss
yes. Let's see. Goodness. In about an hour and a half, I will call in to Sports on the Hill on True Radio Network. And hopefully Carol will be able to go Facebook Live. I think they had a problem last week. Robbie's going to try to call in. He says during the first period, I don't see how that's going to happen, but either way, he'll figure it out. To call in. And yeah, so I will be wrapping up exactly what we just talked about. And Carol always has great opinions and, you know, ideas and whatnot out there. So that's what we'll be talking about from probably 7 to 7:30. And then I think they'll probably get into the Redskins and then Steven Strasburg's big ass million gazillion dollar contract with the Nats. That's
I thought you were going to stop at big ass.
Well, that too. I would stop at a big ass, but yeah.
That is a big ass contract.
It is. It's quite impressive. Big ass contract. So yeah. So that's it. I'll be going back to back podcast tonight, and then you and I will shoot for being on Sunday next week. I'll get my shit together for sure.
Yep. Going to try and turn this around as quick as we can, but probably going to post either late tonight or Tuesday. So that's our doings. Real quick before we wrap things up, previews of coming attractions. We mentioned this last week and a couple times during this episode. They're playing the Jackets back at the friendly confines of Capital One tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop. I was hoping one Elvis Merzlikens would be, well, he'll be in the building, but he will not be on the ice, and he will not be playing. He will be backing up Jonas Korpisalo, who will be getting the start, as I have learned from Jackets Media. And again, that's 7 o'clock puck drop tonight. And then another game Wednesday, the 11th, they host the Boston Bruins and the Liquor Man. The liquor license selling man himself, Brad Marchand. Another 7 o'clock puck drop, and then the Caps go on the road down to Florida on Saturday the 14th. Thankfully, not Friday the 13th.
Yep.
Against the Lightning for the first. It's a long road trip, but only in days, and it's not very far. I think that's the furthest they go. And then they play the Jackets again, this time in Nationwide Arena. I think that's what they still call it, in Columbus. Another Monday game, and then the Devils on that next Friday, and then back home again against the Lightning on a Saturday. So I'm beginning to think the schedule maker is either I don't know it, on drugs, or I don't know, he had way too much fun with a Rubik's Cube in his youth. I don't know. That's logical enough explanation. Okay. So any other thoughts? Any other final thoughts from you, Anna? Before we
I'm good.
Kill it. Okay. Well, all right. So that all being said, for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off yet again, and reminding you that James Bond always does one thing before he goes to bed. He goes undercover.
Nope.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.